Is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, and you'll find it on page 361. 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord.
It might be useful for you to have a Bible open at the passage, and that's on page 361 in the Bibles. Page 361. Now, last week at my home group, we came to a time of prayer, and I asked if we could pray about this sermon as I was preparing to write it. And someone said, "Oh, what are you speaking on this week?" So I said, "1 Kings 19. "Wonkies, isn't that that restaurant in Chinatown where everyone goes to be abused by the staff?" came the reply from my lovely home group. Well, yes, it is. But just to be clear, I'm not going to be speaking about Chinese restaurants this morning. This morning we come to the last in our series looking at Elijah. Last week we saw Elijah and the widow struggling in anger and confusion in the midst of tragedy. And today we're going to see a completely different side to Elijah, one of despair in times of trouble as he wrestles with exhaustion and deep discouragement. But we will see that even in those hardest times, God remains with him. And we can learn a lot from that. Time and again, the Old Testament gives us great stories that chime with our own experiences. But here in chapter 19, we find it's a real surprise as Elijah is in despair, running away, feeling isolated and alone. But why is that? In the previous two chapters, we have seen some spectacular successes. Last week, we saw how in chapter 17, God used him to raise someone from the dead. In the next chapter, in chapter 18, which I could really encourage you to read, it's a fantastic story, we see Elijah defeating the prophets of Baal, a false god, in a most dramatic and miraculous way possible, with fire coming crackling down from the sky. And it really seems that Israel is beginning to turn back to the living God. And yet, here we find in chapter 19, Elijah in a very different place. At the start of the passage, we find Ahab, who is king of Israel, with his wife Jezebel, who is a huge fan of Baal. Now, Ahab and Jezebel were not nice people. In 1 Kings 16, verse 30, it says that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And Jezebel was known as an evil woman who was not averse to killing but followers of God. And here is Ahab telling her just what Elijah had done, that he had killed the prophets of Baal. You can picture the scene. Ahab is explaining what happened on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel's getting more and more angry. If Elijah thought that perhaps Jezebel may turn to God in response to what had happened on that mountain, he was going to be disappointed. Jezebel was infuriated and flew into a rage, demanding his immediate execution. Verse 2 says to us, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that of one of them." We could perhaps translate her sentiments something like, "Elijah, I'm coming to get you. You're a dead man." The immediate follow-on to Elijah's success in chapter 18 is his world coming crashing down around him. Jezebel's threat was real and genuine. This woman had murdered hundreds of people who believed in God. And Elijah felt alone in the world. Whilst on Mount Carmel in the previous chapter, he'd even said to those 850 false prophets, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left." He must have been incredibly scared and worried. Jezebel's threat completely overwhelmed him. He seems to have forgotten the power and provision of God, even though he had just experienced it in an incredible way. Really, Elijah should have just laughed and shrugged off the threat, because he'd seen Jezebel's gods as those being powerless and useless. But instead, Elijah runs for his life, fear replacing his faith. He runs to Beersheba in the far south of Israel, and then he goes another full day's journey into the wilderness. This threat from Jezebel has shaken him to the core. And instead of praying for God's help, like he'd always done before, he ran away. And it was there in the wilderness he hit rock bottom, feeling he had failed completely. In verse 4, he prays for his life to end. "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Elijah feels crushed. He feels alone and isolated. He feels he has let God down. He's failed on his mission to bring people to know the real God. It looks like he's losing perspective. He may feel alone, but Elijah is not as isolated as he thinks. In chapter 18, he met Obadiah, a fellow believer, who had hidden 100 other prophets in a cave. And at the very end of our passage, God tells Elijah of 7,000 people who are not worshippers of Baal, but have been reserved for God. A lesson for us too, that when we feel alone, we aren't really. There are always people around you here at St. Pat's willing to talk and listen to you. And this Sunday, as we think about the suffering church, the start of this passage must really resonate with Christians today who, unlike us, are unable to freely worship, but who are like Elijah, in real danger of death from those who not only don't believe, but who are out to kill Christians for their faith. There must be times when they genuinely feel alone and isolated. They may not know other Christians in their immediate vicinity, or they're afraid to tell others for fear of what might happen. There must be times then when, like Elijah, fear overcomes their faith and people feel like running for their lives, feeling that God is not there with them. Does that resonate with you? Are there times when you feel isolated and far from God, forgetting all that he has done for you in the past? We know that God has promised to be always with us and to never abandon us. He never has and he never will. And yet when times are hard, I know whatever is troubling me can overwhelm my faith and I can feel isolated and alone. And I wish I could just run away and hide from whatever difficult situation I'm in. But as we turn and look at the rest of the passage, we'll see that God is always there, but not necessarily in the way we would expect. So we return to Elijah, praying in despair in the shade of a tree, and he then promptly falls asleep. He's awoken by an angel of the Lord saying, "Get up and eat." And there is bread and water for him. He eats and drinks and then goes back to sleep. And again, he's woken by an angel, "Get up and eat." Even in this time of depression and feeling isolated, Elijah is provided for by God. God knew Elijah was going to go to Mount Horeb, a journey of 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah would need sustenance if he was going to make it, and God provided that. Even when we are at our lowest ebb, God is there with us, even if we may not recognise it at the time. God doesn't just provide for Elijah's spiritual needs. He provides for his physical ones too. And that's the challenge for us today. The challenge Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 25. In verses 31 to 46, it's the story of the parable of the sheep and the goats, illustrating how we will be judged. And Jesus says from verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" A challenge for us today to provide for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Simple things. You know, here in Wallington, there are people who are struggling. We could donate food to the food bank by the collection point at the back of church. And as we think about those Christians around the world who are persecuted because of their faith, we could look to support them too. There's more information on the Barnabas Trust website if you'd like to know more. But let's return to Elijah. There he is at rock bottom, And yet he chooses to go to a holy place, Mount Horeb, known as the Mountain of God, the place where Moses met with God and received the Ten Commandments. We don't know why Elijah went there, we're not told. But it just intrigued me that in his despair, he went to a place that was significant to those who believed in God. God didn't send Elijah to Mount Horeb as he'd sent Elijah to other places, because he says to him when he arrives, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah responds, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." I don't know about you, but it all sounds a bit whingy and whiny to me. You could almost hear an "it's not fair" and a stamp of foot. Elijah is saying, "I did everything you wanted, but to no avail." It's all very doom and gloom. There doesn't seem to be any hope. Elijah has completely forgotten what God has done for him in the past. Not just for him, but for believers from the beginning of time. Are there times when you're having a hard time, when you feel far from God, and it feels easier just to blame everything or everyone around you for the situation you're in? You can't see God in that difficult place and struggle to see the hope in the situation. It's hard, isn't it, when we feel that despite doing everything right and seeing God's hand really clearly, that we might still feel crushed, that we might still have that overwhelming sense of despair and isolation. But as we will see, we're not alone. There is a way out. God's response to Elijah is to tell him to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. But no, Elijah didn't go out straight away. He stayed in the cave. There was a violent rushing wind that tore across the mountain, loosening stones and shattering rocks. But God wasn't in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And then came a fire. But God wasn't in the fire. And then it happened. When the wind had died down, the earth had stopped trembling, and the fire had gone out, there was a gentle whisper. It was when Elijah heard the voice of God that he went out of the cave. Verse 13 tells us, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Elijah knew that voice was God because he hides his face, just as God had hidden Moses' face when he'd met him on the mountain. Elijah knows he cannot see the face of God. But whatever those words were, they were enough for Elijah to realise that God was there. But Elijah still doesn't quite get it. A voice asks him again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replies in exactly the same way as he did previously. Even though he had heard God, it appears that Elijah still doesn't quite realise what he'd witnessed, that God was there with him in that hard place. But this time, God gives Elijah instructions, reminding him that he, God, has the power and authority, that he, God, is the judge and giver of grace. There are people that Elijah needs to go and anoint, people who will succeed Elijah as prophet, people who will continue the work that Elijah has been doing, bringing people to know God. God's work is not finished as Elijah had feared when the Israelites rejected God. And then the passage finishes with God's promise, an amazing show of grace. "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal." Elijah may have felt alone and isolated, but there were people out there who didn't worship Baal, who through his grace God was keeping and protecting. People who would keep serving God, keep spreading the good news that would eventually lead to Jesus and onwards to us today. So what can we learn from this? There is so much in these verses. Elijah feels he is all alone, but that's not out of choice. He's done everything God has asked of him, and yet he all seems to have gone wrong. But in that place of isolation and discouragement, the Lord stooped down to care for him. He gave Elijah physical refreshment. He revealed himself by speaking. And he sent Elijah out again to find encouragement alongside other people who were serving him. And when times are hard for us, we need to remember that. God has always promised to be with us. He has never broken that promise over the centuries. So why would he start now? And we have something Elijah didn't have: Jesus. God loves us so much that he gave his only son to die for us on the cross, for our sins. We have that certain hope of eternal life through Jesus. We know that God will never abandon us. And yet, when times are hard, I so quickly forget that. And like Elijah, I want to run away and hide. I love the fact that Elijah hears God in the gentle whisper. It reminds me that even when it's hard to see God in a dark place, he is there. I just need to stop and listen for that still, small voice. Now, there's some scholarly debate about whether it is a still, small voice, a whisper, or even a silence. But whatever it is, I need to listen out for God's quiet word. Now, that isn't to say that God isn't in the big and spectacular, but we shouldn't always be looking for that. God doesn't often work that way. Elijah heard God in understandable words. God's word is what is important, and how we can meet him, how we can stay connected to him and not feel isolated and alone. And we have something else that Elijah didn't have. We have the Bible. We have God's word that we can look in every day. And we need to keep reading it, even difficult passages like this one. As David said last week, we need to keep wrestle with the word of God. Look in his word and you will meet him there. Now you may be sat there thinking, but I struggle to read and understand the Bible. Well, can I encourage you to join a home group? It is a great place to learn more about the Bible. A safe place to wrestle with God's word and ask questions. The more we do that, the easier it will be to remain close to God when times are hard. If, when you're feeling alone and isolated, feeling that you've done everything you can and yet you still feel crushed by the world around you, feeling it's just not working, don't run away. Don't hide from God, because you can't. One of my favourite Bible passages is Psalm 139. And verses 7 and 8 say, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." God is always with us. As we have seen with Elijah, it's easy to remember God is there in the good times. But it's so easy to very quickly forget that when times are hard. Elijah's spectacular spiral into feeling isolated and alone, to running away and hiding, came immediately after that wonderful God-filled experience. And we can learn from that. This story reminds us that even when things are going well, when we are close to God, living the way he wants us to, we can still face hard times. We can still feel crushed. But even in those times, God is with us, sustaining us, guiding us, leading us. We just need to turn and listen for that voice. God is with us always. Running away is not the answer, because we can't run away from God. I love his response to Elijah's actions, to send him back to be with people who are also serving him. People who could build Elijah up. So if you feel like running away, don't. Perhaps run here to St. Pat's. Like Mount Horeb, it's a place where people have met and worshipped God for many years. It's a place we can come to be built up and supported. It's a place where we are not alone. So don't run and hide. Come into fellowship with other Christians. Come and hear God's word proclaimed. Come and be reminded that God is with us always. Amen.